Welcome to 3 and 30, a podcast for moms who want to create more meaning in motherhood. Each 30-minute episode will feature three doable takeaways for you to try at home with your family this week. I'm your host, Rachel Nielsen. Thank you so much for being here.
Don't we all just crave the friendship of women who will open up their hearts and share their ups and downs and their biggest life lessons with us? Today's episode is a peek into my friendship with one such woman who has blessed my life so much in the almost 6 years since I moved to a small town in Idaho. Michelle was actually the very first person to introduce herself to me when we attended a church picnic in our new town, and she has become a dear friend, mentor, and confidant to me in the years since. In today's episode, she is generously sharing some of the parenting lessons she has learned while raising teenagers and supporting her adult children as they continue to grow and change. I know you're going to be so touched by her authenticity and wise heart, and I'm just so grateful she would share these tender life lessons with us and that her children gave their permission as well. They are an incredible family. By way of background, Michelle Barrow is a mom of four and a grandma of six. She graduated in English teaching years ago, and she's currently in the Stanford Online Writing Program, where she is rewriting a novel that she hopes to publish within a couple of years. She says that her most memorable and greatest teachers are her children, and she truly feels that she is getting her doctorate in how to be an authentic, self-aware, and responsible human at the Barrow Family School of Excellence. You're going to hear a bit more about the lessons she's learning in that unofficial doctorate program in today's episode, so let's dive in. Here's my conversation with my dear friend, Michelle Barrow. Michelle, welcome to 3 and 30. I am so excited to talk to you today.
Me too. So nice to be here.
Well, I am your real life friend. And so it's really fun to get to talk to someone on my show that I talk to on a regular basis all about the ups and downs of parenting. And you've been a real mentor to me. You're ahead of me in parenting. We've gotten to talk and hear your wisdom and advice. And you have a really unique motherhood experience with your four children. So I was wondering if you could just start by telling us a little bit about your family and your mothering experience.
Yes, I have four children and I have two older daughters. One is 34 and one is 32. And they are both married and they have three children each. And then 10 years later, we adopted a little boy when he was 3 days old. And then 5 years after that, we had a surprise. And she is so great. And we had another little girl. So there's 17 years between the oldest and the youngest, 10 years between the two sets, kind of.
Mm-hmm.
It is interesting because I think I have a pretty unique perspective. Those kids are at such different stages in the world.
Yes.
So the older kids, they had like MySpace. I don't even know if you remember that.
Oh, I remember MySpace.
Yeah, I remember instant messaging was just coming in. So they would be on the computer kind of instant messaging. They didn't have smartphones at all. And then the younger kids, they have smartphones and they have, everything.
Mm-hmm. And it's really changed the way you've parented your two sets has had to be different. So you had this experience of raising these first two and then these next two, I mean, I've heard you describe really kind of threw you for a loop because you thought you had it all figured out with the first two, right?
Yeah, I really had to change parenting.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I sound old, but it really felt like things were going so fast. I just couldn't keep up. And I still feel that way. I still feel like I can't figure out the apps fast enough before they can figure them out, you know? So we just had to change the way we were doing things.
Yeah. And we're going to talk a lot today about your experience of sort of changing gears and figuring out how to parent kids that were in a different generation, that had different needs. And even your older two, you know, you think you're done raising kids at 18 and you think like, okay, we got it all figured out. And then in their adulthood, questions and things come up for them. And you're like, wow, I didn't foresee that in my child's story. And here they are in their 30s and they're an adult and I'm an adult and I'm still their mom. And so kind of trying to figure out that relationship, I know, has been interesting for you, right?
Yes, yes. And it's funny because the way I had to change my parenting for the younger kids helped me be a better parent to the older kids when they were changing the way I thought their life would go. Mm-hmm. So it's just so great. It's so great to be a parent. And it just makes you be better than you would be if you didn't have kids.
And the challenges that come up with your kids really push you to become a better version of yourself and a more compassionate listener. And so, although I don't think any of us would wish, you know, I hope that I have really strong-willed, hard kids, or I hope that my kids go through challenges and rebel. We don't want that. And yet, when it happens, it makes us better humans and it makes us better parents.
So much. So much.
Well, I'm excited for you to share in some of your personal experiences. So let's start with your first takeaway.
Okay. So my first takeaway is give your child, your teenager, your young adult space for their own story. And really, it's best if it starts when they are young. So for your listeners that are thinking, oh, my teenage years are so far away, it's really great if you can look at this and look at their stories that you have kind of written in your mind for them, but also their stories that they are going to write. So I did ask my son if I could share this story, and he said yes. So when he was adopted, he was only 3 days old, and his bio mom and bio dad are great people. They weren't going to get married, and they believed it would be better for their baby to grow up with two parents who were ready to raise a child. So my son's bio parents placed him with us out of love. They chose us, and we got to raise him in love. Everything everyone did for him was out of love. That's the story he grew up with. It's the story I believe to be true, but this is a story that I pushed into his life, and I did not give him space for any other story. So as my son got older, he hid from us the thoughts he was having about his adoption. So some of his questions I know now were, what if I could have been happier with my bio parents? What if I wasn't enough for my bio parents? That's why they really placed me. He was confused, but he didn't talk to us about it because he didn't want to hurt us, right?
Yeah. He wanted to go along with the story that he'd been told and didn't want to ask anything that would threaten that story because he was afraid it would hurt you.
Yes. And truthfully, I wouldn't really entertain other parts of the story. So then when he turned 18, he separately met both of his bio parents and their families, and he could see his bio parents were great people. And I'm thinking, look at, he's witnessing his story is just how I told him. See how much they love you. See how great these people are. And it's all true. All of that's true. But I had no idea all the questions that had been percolating for a while. And, you know, like Jack Nicholson says in A Few Good Men, you can't handle the truth. I think that's what he thought about us. And I was kind of showing signs that I couldn't handle the truth because I only wanted this one story. But now that I know the truth.
Now that you know his truth. Now that you know more of his perspective.
Yes. I could have handled it. Would it have been painful? Yes, it would have been painful. And it was painful when we started seeing his questions and his story. So one of the things he was asking was, wasn't I enough? You know, is that why they placed me? Like, what is wrong when they can't keep their baby? And I must not have been good enough to keep. And the funny thing is, I was kind of asking the same question as a parent, like, wasn't I enough? And I think that's the question I was trying to protect is I'm good enough to be your mom and I am going to be a great mom. I'm going to be the perfect mom for you.
I'm going to be so good that you'll never have questions about. You'll always be unconditionally grateful for this story you've been given because I'm going to be so good.
Yes.
I relate, Michelle, because I'm an adoptive mom too, as you know. And so I relate.
Yes. I think it's really apparent with adoption, but the truth is that question comes up with birth children too. You know, when your children are having struggles, it's easy to be like, what did I do wrong? Why is this child having this trouble with this? Didn't I teach them enough? Wasn't I enough? Didn't I love them right? So I just think it's very apparent with adoption, but with bio children, you have the same questions. And those questions come really strong when you have teenagers and young adults, because they're starting to be free to make their own decisions. And sometimes their decisions are really hard to watch. So
yeah,
I believe if we could have made space for him to explore those other stories with me and his dad, if he could have talked to us about it, I think it would have saved him some heartache and tough decisions as he was moving into adulthood.
And so how would you do it differently now?
When we were talking about his bio parents, when he said, why did they place me? I would have just always prefaced that with, I don't know all the reasons, but one of the reasons is because they loved you and they wanted you to be in a family with a mom and dad. They thought that would really be good for you. So just that little, I don't know everything. One of the reasons is, you know, just not making it all about them. Like, no one wants all that burden that everything was about them, because that's not true. There were other reasons, I'm sure.
Yes. And I have to say, Michelle, it's been such a blessing to me with my adopted son to hear you talk about your experience with Hunter, to talk through these ups and downs with you, because it's changed the way that I talk to Noah about his adoption. And so I'm so grateful to you for sharing this, and grateful to Hunter for being willing to allow you to share this, because I'll tell Noah all the time, I'll say, you're going to have lots of different feelings about your adoption over the course of your life. And I want you to know it's all okay.
Yes.
Whatever you feel is okay. And you can talk to me about it. And I'm not going to feel betrayed. I'm not going to feel like you don't love me. This is a complex thing, and you're allowed to have your feelings about it. And I think, just as you mentioned, this is true, not just of children who are adopted. This is true of all children. You are going to have a lot of complex feelings, doubts, questions about anything that we've taught you in our home. And you're allowed to come to us with those and to express your story, and we will listen to you, is really important.
Yes.
And you mentioned a little bit about how your experience with your younger kids helped you with your older kids. How did this experience with Hunter make you a better mom to your other children as well?
Well, one of my older children has gone through a faith journey where she's questioned the faith she grew up in and the religion she grew up in. And there's some things that she would like to see change that she thinks would be better. And as I've kind of watched that, I'm letting her have her story, right? Because I want to say sometimes, no. Go back to what is true for me and the way I see it. But instead, I just really try to listen and to hear what she's saying and to let her have her own story. And in doing that, I'm not blocking out other things that are true. I'm seeing some truths that she's right, that there's some things that can change.
Yeah.
So that's kind of a nice place to be, right? To be curious and good at listening, instead of just saying, no, it needs to be this way. I know this is the right way. This is the best way.
Yeah. The only story that is true is the story that I want to believe, or that I've been telling you, versus saying, well, that story has been true for me, and I believe it's a good story. But that doesn't mean that other people's stories and the way that they've experienced the world and life isn't true as well.
Yeah.
Let's take a quick break and thank this episode's sponsors. This podcast is sponsored by BetterHelp Online Therapy. Because we can't sit together in my living room and catch up over a warm drink, consider this a quick mental health check-in. How are you doing? What are you managing in your life right now? Do you feel supported through it? I used to daydream about parenting being a little less complex as my children got older, and now I'm learning that this is anything but true. As our children grow, their challenges often do too, and therapy has been an invaluable tool to support me as I support my kids. As the world's largest therapy service, BetterHelp has matched 3 million people with professionally licensed and vetted therapists available 100% online. Just fill out a brief questionnaire to match with a therapist. If things aren't clicking, you can easily switch to a new therapist anytime. They also offer counseling for teenagers, so whether it's you or your child or both that need support, BetterHelp can help. If you want to live a more